Hi, Jinx and Sue Podcast. This is Joel Watson, the creator of this show you're listening to, and also the online comic, HiJinxandSue.com. This episode, 89, I am joined by Eli Luna and Josh Jeffcoat. At the time that we recorded this a couple of months ago, Eli, he mentions on this episode that he can't tell you the game he's working on. That game, once you get through this podcast and perhaps have questions, is the Walking Dead video game that he and his the rest of his people at Terminal Reality are making. And Josh does not talk about the fact that he's working on Aliens, Colonial Marines. And we also don't talk about Borderlands 2, which just came out to rave reviews. So this is a extremely non-video game-focused podcast, as all of these are. But this one especially so, because we mention it and then do not discuss them in the slightest. We do talk about Danny Trejo a lot, though. So if you're a Danny Trejo fan, this might be your favorite thing ever. You might like this better than all of it, all of the rest of life. So, what's coming up? Let's talk about conventions that I will not be at. Hang on. So we've covered topics that were not discussed before the show even starts. And now we're going to talk about conventions I will not be at. Precisely, New York Comic Con. Unfortunately, I'm unable to exhibit at New York Comic Con this year, but it's a good show and it's a fun time. And you will be able to go to the Blind Ferret booth at New York Comic Con, October 11, 12, 13, and 14, and pick up my t-shirts, my merchandise, my books. Please do that, because if they have a good show, maybe we'll have a bigger booth next year and I can come. So go there, New Yorkers. And I would imagine New Jerseyans, New Jerseys, Newsies. Go there and spend your money on my things, and then maybe I can go back. Also, the weekend after that, Dallas Fan Days, Dallas Comic Con Sci-Fi Fan Days something is what this is called. This is the 19th through 21st of October in Dallas, Texas. Actually in Irving, at the Irving Convention Center, I believe. I will actually be there. I'll be in Artist Alley. So come down there. Come see me. I think Felicia Day is going to be there. So go have her sign something and then come talk to me. And we'll have a good old time. That's it. That's all. I'm not going to go to Austin. Austin's the week after that. And I couldn't get a hold of those guys. Thanks a lot, guy that didn't answer my email about exhibiting at Austin Comic Con. Austin, if you wished I would be there, it's his fault. That guy. So, yes. Do this for me. When this show's over, go to iTunes, leave a positive review. If you love the show, if you like it a lot, if it doesn't bother you all that much, go make a donation. These monthly donations, recurring donations, is the number one thing to help support this podcast. It takes time and it takes money, and it earns not very much of either of those. So if you want to help, go set up a recurring PayPal donation. Go to podcast.hijinxandsue.com. Click on donate. And set it up through PayPal. It takes about 3 clicks. You put in your password. You pick an amount. Anywhere from $2 to $20. And they'll just take it out every month and give it to me. And you won't have to worry about it. And I like that. It seems super convenient for me on the receiving end. I don't know about you. I feel like it would be equally non-invasive to your lifestyle to lose $2 or $3 a month. Maybe $4. Maybe $5. Let's do a thing. If you have a question for me, for this show, for any of the topics we've discussed, or any of the co-hosts that have appeared, or co-hosts you would like to see appear, email podcast@hijinxandsue.com. If you want to give me a call, 203-6-FANCY-B, 203-632-6292. Leave me a voicemail, and I will play it on the show and potentially answer your question like I'm going to do right now.
Hey, this is Max from New Zealand. I'm just calling to say thanks for, doing what you do. And you really need to talk about Cabin in the Woods, because I think that came out before the podcast, so I think kind of skip that out. You really need to be talked about. Anyway, thanks. Really appreciate you.
Max from New Zealand, thank you for your call and your question. Max wants to know about Cabin in the Woods, or maybe what I thought about Cabin in the Woods. And he's right. It came out when the show was on a very long hiatus, and we never did a good chance to talk about it. But it is on DVD and Blu-ray now, and I'll give you sort of a brief overview of what I thought of the movie. But I do actually, I want to see it again. I've only seen it the one time. I only saw it in theaters. And I want to see it again on DVD and then maybe bring it up on a future podcast or on Blu-ray and bring it up for discussion, because I'd kind of like to have a multi-sided discussion about this movie. It was misrepresented, I think, as far as when it came out, what people were saying about it. A lot of people were saying that it was, you know, it was this revolutionary horror movie that you've never experienced anything like this, and it was going to blow your fucking mind. And then that also that there was a big twist ending. Both of those things are sort of misleading. That aside, it was fantastic. I absolutely enjoyed it. I loved everything about it. I would not say it redefined horror as a genre, like a lot of people were saying. I think it redefined, or possibly sort of reintroduced horror as a genre. Horror movies have become this, you know, especially over the last 10 years, just this torture porn, Saw hostile situation where it's really just, you know, what can happen between gruesome injuries and murders, and it's not that interesting. And Cabin in the Woods kind of comes in and treats horror as a film genre as opposed to an effects genre, I guess. You immediately, and this is very much due to Joss Whedon in the way that he writes characters, though he only wrote about 50% of the movie. The other Drew Goddard did the rest, but and directed it. But the way he writes a character, you basically are introduced to them and then at least know how he wants you to feel about them almost immediately. He has this way of very succinctly, giving you a character, letting them be on screen for just a few minutes, and then knowing, I love this guy, I hate this guy, or I love to hate this guy. And then from that, you get to decide whether or not that means you want them to win or lose, live or die. But there is no... And then often he takes that away from you by showing you they were different than you believed at the beginning, or that they were, you know, not revealing their true side. Maybe you like them more, maybe you like them less at the end. But he gives you enough to formulate what you feel like, at least, is a very informed opinion of a character. And the magic of that is that it lets you care about something or someone in the movie almost immediately. Most horror movies, you can just say, yeah, that lady's probably going to die, and that guy's probably going to live, or maybe these two will live, and then he'll die right at the end saving her, but whatever. You don't care who wins or dies, or who lives or dies. You just want to see the murders, basically. And I feel like you could just cut all those together and leave out the middle part, and you could watch most modern horror movies in 20 minutes or so. Cabin in the Woods, you really do want to see what happens to these guys. It's like Scary Movie in a way that it lets you know that it's immediately playing on the tropes of the genre, that it's going to make fun of, you know, the slutty girl dies, or don't split up or you'll die, or you know, if that room seems creepy, don't go in there, you'll probably be safe. It's very tongue-in-cheek about all of that. It winks at you a bit about all of that, especially through the character of the guy that played Topher on Dollhouse. I don't remember his actual name or his character name, but that guy is sort of the voice of the audience throughout the movie. As far as the crazy plot twist, honestly, if you're a sci-fi fan or a fantasy fan or even a Whedon fan, really, and you don't have the whole plot figured out, I mean, for me, I hate to say this, but I had it figured out during the opening credits. They do reveal the whole thing during the opening credits. If you don't have it in the first 10 minutes, then you're not paying attention. But that doesn't stop it from being very rewarding when it comes to its eventual conclusion. All of that aside, all of the good things about making a good movie aside, it's just, it's amazing to look at. It's so much fun to see the effects, especially towards the end, the effects they've built to illustrate the absurdity of typical horror movies and sort of make fun of that at the same time glorifying it. All of the monsters they reveal, all of the various creative death scenes, and all that payoff. It really is payoff. It's really fantastic, and I utterly enjoyed it. I have this theory that since it was made in 2009 and sat on the shelf for 3 years, potentially to be converted to 3D when that became a thing, it was probably never going to be released, honestly. But then you've got Chris Hemsworth is now famous because of Thor, and Joss Whedon because of Avengers. And so all of a sudden that movie was hot shit again. So please pick up the Blu-ray or DVD or stream it on demand. Do whatever you gotta do, but watch it. It's really, really good. And with that, I will end this question and answer situation, and I will say, please enjoy Hijinks and Sue Podcast, episode 89, John Quincy Adams, Mummy Strangler. Godspeed, you fancy bastards.
This is not the future we were promised. This is not the future we were cast.
Is good and holds up forever is fucking Step Brothers.
I have still not seen that.
It's never not hilarious. It is fucking hilarious. You get the impression that they just turned the camera on Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly, and there was no script. They just
let them do whatever.
Like that was their day. It's really, really good.
You want one of these? Because that's crap.
I love these.
Yeah. Just let him do that.
I love these on purpose. What do you have, like fucking Miller Lite or some shit?
Yeah.
Gross.
This says Twist Technology.
Hmm?
Twist Technology.
I don't get it. What do you mean?
It makes the beer frothier when it comes out.
Oh, because it's they rifled the beer bottle?
Right. It shotguns down my...
They have rifled a Miller Lite bottle. And they've been trying to convince you that that's a thing that's going to help you enjoy your drunk. That's nice. That's really thoughtful of them. Have you seen the thing where you poke an extra hole in a beer can to get a smoother pour? It is science, but it really does look like you just poke a hole on your own.
That's what the rest of us did in junior high.
Right, shotgunning a beer.
Yeah.
Right, but what I'm saying is, like, they made it a thing. Yeah, like they've given you a place to stick something sharp. They don't even specify what. Just anything.
It's the natural evolution of the Capri Sun into beer.
Just stab, stab, stab. Oh, there it is. That's good.
Capri Sun beer.
Everything we've taken is like from our youth.
You know, Capri Sun is kind of like the precursor, like the training bag of wine. Like when you take the bag out of the box.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of like that.
Like Franzia.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Franzia.
Yeah, Franzia and Mike's Hard. But
Mike's Hard Franzia.
Right. Which is... carbonated Franzia? I don't
Mike's know. Hard a porno? Mike's Hard.
Did I tell you about inventing...
There is an apostrophe, but it's not a contraction. It's possessive.
Did I tell you about inventing Joel's Hardest Lemonade in Canada?
No.
Did I tell you about this? I'm such a dummy. I had been for a year in travel... trying to find a way to quickly order a drink that a friend of mine had made for me that I really liked. And I was like, oh, this is really good. It was Sprite, lemon sours, I guess is what you call it, or some other kind of lemon syrup, bitter syrup or something, or lemon syrup, and vodka with maybe some other shit tossed in for fun. And the first time it was made for me, it was made with lemonade. It was lemonade, Sprite, vodka. And I was like, oh, I fucking love this. It's great. And then I tried to order that at bars. And they're like, we don't keep lemonade at a bar, you idiot. Fuck you. And so I was like, oh, well, this one bar had it on a boat. So I guess never mind. I'll leave. So then I find out that there is a such thing as the sours. You can get, like, if I didn't know if someone orders like a vodka sour, that's what it is. It's, you know, lemon syrup. So I started like figuring out a quicker way to order it. I'll have a vodka sours with Sprite, you know, and then eventually I would get what I wanted. And then in Calgary, I ordered that, and someone's like, "What the fuck kind of girly bullshit is that?" And I realized, holy fuck, I've just invented Mike's Hard Lemonade. Like, this is not a new thing. No. I've just combined the ingredients that make up Mike's Hard Lemonade into a glass, and I thought I invented something. That's all it is. It's delicious.
Well, in Canada, it's easy to invent stuff, right?
They tweeted at me one time, Mike's Hard did. And
By the way, wait, suing you.
His boner tweeted at you?
I tweeted a photo.
Mike's Hard.
Boop.
Boop. And Mike's Hard Lemonade.
Boop.
I tweeted a photo of me and a friend like clinking Mike's Hard bottles in Canada, and I said, "It's about to be real bad decision time," or something like that. And Mike's Hard tweet, and I think I hashtagged it Mike's Hard or something. They tweeted back at me. Their Twitter is MHL at MHL. And they had like 14 followers. And I'm like, this is either Mike's Hard Lemonade's brand new Twitter account as of like today, and they've got someone working on it who does not want to be working on it. Like, I got to do all the tweets, you know. Or this is like the biggest Mike's Hard Lemonade fan in the world. They've registered at MHL. So there you go.
So what you're saying is NAFTA.
NAFTA. Just NAFTA.
Just NAFTA.
For those of you who are watching the news in 1995, that was a thing.
Was it 1995?
It was the Clinton administration.
That's when I got to the country.
We should talk about the Clinton administration.
We really should. There's a lot of area there that needs to be explored. I feel like there's
a couple of blowjobs.
Yeah,
that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
It's our coolest president ever.
Yeah.
Played the sax.
Yeah. Arsenio. Oh, smooth.
Wasn't Arsenio Hall on his
cabinet? Yes.
Cabinet for...
He was our first black president.
He was the minister of funk.
Right. That's right.
Not Arsenio.
And George Clinton.
George Clinton was the minister of funk.
He's the vice president of NAFTA.
America?
NAFTA?
Okay.
No.
No, he was just head of parliament. Bootsy Collins was his chief minister of getting down or something like that. The chocolate spaceship.
And then,
Yeah. No, George Clinton is Bill Clinton's little brother.
How's that?
Uh-huh.
He is black.
From another mother. Same father, though.
They're from Arkansas, man. Who knows what goes on down there? You ever notice that a bad Bill Clinton impression sounds kind of like a bad Matthew McConaughey impression? All right, all right.
No, I think you're...
I'm the president.
Right, I think it's just yours.
I take my shirt off. You don't know which one I'm doing. You don't know which terrible impression this is.
So I want to bring up the whole Danny Trejo thing. What movie are we? It would be this movie, or what movie? What,
Hollywood Chainsaw Hookers?
The fuck are you even talking about? I don't even know what you're talking about.
I want Danny Trejo in my movie.
Okay, so I heard on a podcast that he was on called "How Did This Get Made," where they were talking about. I don't know if they were talking about Machete or a different movie he was in. I can't remember. The problem was I couldn't finish it because Danny Trejo, while one of my favorite Mexicans, just top three.
Well, right.
And of the five I like.
I mean, his face is so visually captivating, like the Grand
and
Canyon.
And who are your top five blacks?
Did you ever feel like he is just trying to outdo Edward James Olmos on every account? Mexicanness, faceness.
Yeah, but did he teach a group of...
Calculus.
He would have killed
teens,
them.
Calculus.
He would have killed them.
Requires ganas.
He would have killed them. But
that would have made a better movie.
He's not very
Stand
interesting.
And surrender.
He's not a very interesting guy. So he was very happy-go-lucky and seemed very happy for whatever amount of success he's had. But he just wasn't very interesting to listen to. He said that he will basically be in any student film for like $150. And I think he's Austin based.
Is he?
He might be.
I want to say he's Texas based.
I mean, all those, him and Rodriguez and all those guys seem to hang out.
Saw a picture of him with a high school buddy of mine back home in the Rio Grande Valley. And he was there at some taco stand. So clearly he's...
Everything in that sentence is the most Mexican sentence that could ever exist.
Right.
Except that you said school.
Right.
Go ahead.
So now I wonder if he will check my credentials to see if I'm actually a film student. Because I'm not...
I think if he shows up, I bet you're not local, I bet you have to fly him in. Or at least coyote him in.
Right.
So you get him across the border, you coyote him in.
Still have that.
In the back of like a Bimbo bread truck.
Still have that.
Okay. And then I'm assuming he's going to need a place to stay, like a yurt or something.
What?
A yurt.
Mud hut. Something adobe.
Yeah, adobe. A mud hut. A yurt. So you're going to have to yurt him up. And then I'm guessing food, daily, you know, foods, and like 150 spending cash, and he's good to go.
We could do that.
I wonder if I can make a movie where there's a crack team of drillers, and he has to
kill them all.
Actually, he is the asteroid.
Right.
Just
they have
fly
to drape
the camera past his face.
All right, so you have to green screen him below the neck. You just drape him in a green snuggie,
right.
Basically.
It's Lord of the Rings production.
Put him in the green man suit. And
yeah, with the head exposed.
Right.
Flying through space, all that hair whipping behind him, knives in his hair. I'm coming at you, bro. Here I come, Earth, suck a dick.
I would watch Armageddon if the asteroid were played by Danny Trejo.
Yeah. I wonder if I could remake Rocky.
How can we do this?
And cast Danny Trejo.
As which?
As the Russian.
As the ring.
As the Rocky.
As the gloves.
Yeah, as Clubber Lane.
As that big slab of meat that he beats up.
Yeah. No, I'd have to think about this. But if he's down,
and when
I'm
hits,
down.
He destroys.
You know, he now must break you, bro. So you need to make a movie about you trying to make a movie just to get Danny Trejo to come hang out with you for a week.
That would work.
So you start it as a documentary, like, I think I'm going to get him here, guy. I think I'm going to do this. I'm going to write this movie. You study every movie he's ever made so that you make the thing. You make the movie. You write the movie that he would most love to be in based on everything he's ever done. And, like, you read reviews to find out which projects he enjoyed the most. And probably the ones where
do like some alternate history Alamo thing.
Yeah, where the Alamo is a robot.
No, like a Voltron. Where the Mexicans win.
I think they did, didn't they?
Shit.
Yeah,
that's right.
That's accurate. Oh, that's accurate history that you're thinking of.
Shit.
No, that actually is a good idea.
Danny Trejo is Santa Ana.
If he's in San Antonio, then I can. No, no.
No, Santa Ana, not
Santa
Ana. You can
film him in front of the Alamo.
He can play David Crockett.
There's tours going on behind you, and he's like, this way, bros. Come on. And he's got a Gatlin gun strapped to his chest.
No, I like the idea where Doc Brown shows up and turns the tide of the Alamo. The Texans.
Good Davy Crockett. Oh, it's your kids, Davy.
Great for assholes.
They don't get born because you're dead. Oh.
Yeah, so.
It's a terrible
Doc Brown
show.
I can't do it. I don't
Doc
know.
Doc Brown
one.
Shows up, changes. See, there's a concert the night of the Alamo before they get invaded.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
So he's playing, you know.
Mariachi.
Right. Yeah.
Stars Under the Sea.
Right.
And who's the mariachi?
Horses.
And his
Stars
picture.
Under the Sea,
who's the mariachi?
He's starting to fade out.
ZZ Top. And the guy from El Mariachi.
That might be.
What was his name?
Robert Rodriguez.
No. What's the guy's name?
Robert
Antonio
Rodriguez.
Banderas. Nazanex. Nazanex B
Zorro.
As. Who?
Zorro.
I think you mean the dad from Spy Kids 3D.
So Doc Brown shows up for the concert that's at the Alamo.
Yeah.
Little did they know the Mexicans were going to come in to
ambush.
Well, it was an ambush.
Yeah, it was an ambush.
The Mexicans were hiding in the basement.
Right.
Right. Surprise.
And then Danny Trejo.
They come in riding these red and white bicycles.
Danny Trejo paints half of his face blue.
Right.
And then rises up against the people from the basement.
And just wears no pants.
And it'll be called The People Under the Basement 2 Electric Boogaloo.
you know, never forget the people never under forget. The
basement. And well, we can use the flag that's out in the hallway.
Yeah, yeah.
The Alamo flag that you're referencing. Right.
That is we just Alamo.
Hung in this hallway.
That is a real Alamo flag.
Oh, it's from the Alamo?
It's from the Alamo.
Well, that's good to know.
I just think you just drove three staples through it.
You just made it worthless.
Ruined the priceless artifact. Just made
it fucking worthless.
Of American history.
Right. Yeah, you're getting some noise over there.
Oh, whatever.
Oh.
Stop it.
I wasn't doing anything. So I have to go now to write this script.
You're going
to
be busy.
It's going to be busy.
You look kind of like George R.R. Martin. Beard and a cap. You could be on a boat. He looks like a seaman. Looks like he would sing a shanty. So just take 7 years of your life and write this Danny Trejo movie.
I don't want seamen.
That's the name of the movie. Stars and Stripes Forever. I don't want seamen.
Seamen under the sea.
Never forget.
Never forget too.
Don't tread on me.
Don't tread on the soundtrack by Metallica.
Right.
But not that song. Which it's of Wolf and Man.
Which are making a comeback.
It's of Wolf and Man. That's right. The whole thing. Is back to the meaning of goom, goom, life. It's all about, and he's always a werewolf because Benicio Del Toro is his sidekick.
All right, yeah, there we go.
Yeah. Of Wolf and Man. Back to the meaning of...
Sorry, I thought you were doing Barracuda for a second.
Right, yeah, I was like, what are we doing? So if he's listening...
Oh, Barracuda.
Danny, I've got it all.
Wolfacuda. Right, somebody call Sci-Fi. Who's got their number? Wolfacuda. I'm typing this down. Copyright 2012. Hijinks
Wolf Ensue. Wolfcooter?
Wolfcooter.
Hey, I said it. God damn it.
You're under the blanket of my non-existent corporate entity. Her of Wolf, her and Barracuda. The first 15 minutes of that movie would be the squirrely sci-fi guy that's like, oh, we've successfully bred a wolf and a barracuda. I hope nothing bad happens. And then, like, alarms.
Nature's most perfect killing machine.
Yeah,
right.
We're going to drop 12 of these in Fallujah, and it's going to be over in, like, 45 minutes or so.
Wait, Fallujah the Wookiee Planet or Fallujah the Wookiee Planet?
Yeah. Yeah.
Dude, you've been in way too long.
Yeah. I'm so happy to be done with that game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Danny.
Speaking of games, I want to ask Josh about Aliens.
Yeah.
Are you working on that now or no?
Yep.
Okay, so is it okay to say the lineage of that game? Like what it was and then what it wasn't and then no, I can't say any of those things? No? You're just staring at me like I've done something very bad.
I have no idea what you're talking
about. Oh, okay, good. No. Well, whatever you just did made that noise go away.
I know.
So stop. Stop everything.
That means keep drinking.
Well, that was going to be your big flagship title like 6 or 7 years ago, right?
I have no idea.
Okay, never mind.
I don't know.
Never mind.
Hey, you know what? We're making Borderlands.
And it was shelved for... like 5 or 6 years.
But we're totally making Borderlands.
And now it's coming out and it's like a big to-do. People seem excited about it.
I just spent the last several years of my life on Borderlands.
Oh, okay. I just want to talk about Aliens. It's a thing I'm concerned about.
Yeah, I know. Diablo's in Borderlands, actually.
Right. But it's the canonical sequel to Aliens, right?
That is true.
That's pretty fucked up, man.
Yeah.
That's pretty
fucked
up.
Mikey did a lot of work to make that happen.
Wait, so does this video game interfere with the timeline between Aliens and Predator? Because if so, that's going to be really disappointing.
Yes.
I feel like this is The View now.
Wait, which...
I want to know how...
Am I Whoopi?
I want to know how Whoopi. The Predator fits
I'll
in.
I'll shave off my
You're
eyebrows.
Wookie.
I'll yeah. shave off my eyebrows as long as I can be Whoopi.
You're Wookie Goldberg.
Oh, boy.
Whoopi Goldberg has no eyebrows.
Let the Whoopi win. Yeah, she's an odd one. So anyway, you're making Aliens. I don't want to talk about Borderlands because I don't know about that, so I don't care about it.
Borderlands is going to be awesome. Oh, God.
You Predators, buy it Predators so I can in have Borderlands.
A new car.
You just got a new car.
That's
like
not
literally
the point.
3 months ago.
Not the point.
Okay.
I need a car, so How's
that going to work?
So I can buy his car so that I can buy a car.
Oh, do you have a project yet? You probably can't say, right?
Not yet. But I don't know when this is coming out. So by this point, it'll have been
just announced. Mime the name of it to me. Oh, that sounds interesting. I like it. I can't believe it.
Secrets.
No, he didn't say.
Seacrest.
You're making the Danny Trejo video
game. We're making, right.
Yeah.
Hollywood Chainsaw Hookers Part 2. The canonical sequel to Hollywood Chainsaw Hookers.
The Trey Heckening.
The Trio-kening? Yeah. Poor Danny.
What do you mean, poor Danny?
I mean, I don't know.
He's in Breaking Bad for like an episode.
His head is in Breaking Bad for another episode.
Right.
El Tortuga.
That was the last episode we watched.
Tortuga es muerte.
Oh, where that's where like, you are.
Well, we watched the episode where
is that season two
his boss gets him the turtle.
Right.
So why is it that the local, like, what is it, Golden Chick that's down the street?
Tortuga.
Reminds me of
Pollos Locos?
Pollos
Locos. Or Pollos Hermanos?
Pollos Hermanos?
Yeah.
It should. I'm sure it's meth.
It's because they make meth in the basement.
Why is everything underneath the ground like this?
Oh, no. I think you lower your voice when you lowered your sea level distance.
We are way under sea level.
Or just your standards.
Mm. Pollos Locos. Is there a place called Pollos Locos? Is that a weird thing?
It's dumb enough to be a real thing.
No, that's a crazy chicken.
I know, but I think that's a real restaurant, right?
No.
Or is that from a movie?
It's from cockfighting.
Is that a movie? Is that from Seinfeld?
Like, with chickens or dicks? Sure.
Yes.
No, Kenny Rogers Roasters is a fake thing from Seinfeld. That's right. I forgot.
So when I was in Denver, it felt like I was on the set of Iron Eagle 1 and 2.
Which is
does anybody else
in an airplane.
Iron Eagle. Have you seen Iron Eagle?
I've seen 2. Where they go rescue their dads, right?
That's Iron Eagle.
Oh, okay. That's Iron Eagle 1?
That's Iron Eagle.
Then Iron Eagle 1.
It wasn't called Iron Eagle.
The Ironing.
The
Inigulation.
Right.
Regret.
The Egret of Regret. Yes. Eagle 3, The Egret of Regret.
With the 80s version of Morgan Freeman, which was Lewis Scott Jr. or whatever.
Lewis Gossett Jr.
Whatever. I don't know what it is. Morgan Freeman of the time.
Right.
That's right. Really racist.
Morgan Freeman 1 or 0.
The Morganing.
Right.
The pre-Morganing?
Which movie are we talking about now? Iron Eagle?
I have no idea what we're talking about.
I believe I've seen an Iron of Eagles, either 1 or 2.
Is that like a Murder of Crows?
Yes, Iron of Eagles. Did you pay the Iron Eagle price or the Golden Eagle price from Angry Birds? I don't know. So anyway, what's your question?
It wasn't a question.
Okay. I appreciate your
Iron Eagle.
In-depth insight. Is Danny Trejo in that? Does he play
the Eagle? Could be in the remake of what I want.
Does he play the chasm
of
that they dogfight in?
Yes. That actually had a very early Saddam Hussein.
Oh, he's in. Danny Trejo is actually the Grand Canyon in Independence Day.
Yeah.
When they dogfight with the aliens. You know, they're making a sequel to that?
Welcome to Earth takes place on his cheekbone.
Welcome to Earth.
Wait, they're making a sequel to Independence
Day? Yes, ID5, I guess. I don't know. They're making a sequel to it.
Day after.
Absolutely.
Place in 1994.
Oh, God, I hope
so.
I really hope so.
I remember working at the movie theater going like, that Twister and The Rock.
Was that one summer?
Is going to be the greatest movie.
Was that all in the same summer?
Yeah.
Fuck, that was a good summer.
And I look back now and remembered how much...
And The Rock is the only one of those that's actually a good movie, despite also being ridiculous. They're all ridiculous.
Hang on now.
The Rock's good.
Explain the merits, good or bad, of Independence Day.
None.
In
other than the technology at the time. I mean, it was fun for 94.
But they hacked with
Macintosh.
With the Macintosh.
And the PowerBook.
No, it wasn't a PowerBook, actually. He actually brought over his iMac.
No, it was a PowerBook. It was a black PowerBook with the upside down Apple logo on it back in the day. Remember that? There was a big thing in Apple, too, where it was like, do we do them upside down or right side up? And this was pre-Steve, and Steve fixed it.
Right.
Because that other guy was a dummy.
The Pepsi guy?
Yeah, he was a fucking idiot. He made terrible decisions. But anyway, He programmed that, I think, an Apple script is what took down the alien base.
It's pretty sweet.
And it was an automator action, an automator function. It was like, empty, I want you to look.
Empty the trash.
Empty my trash, clear my browser cache, take down the alien mothership, and then clear all my appointments for the day.
They're supposed to be aliens on this alien
tour.
Alien tour.
Yeah.
What has that guy done?
Goldblum's?
Yeah.
He's got a show.
Law and Order, right?
He has a show. I've never seen it, obviously.
He's on Law and Order?
What show is that?
Right? Exactly.
I have no idea.
I think it's on USA or NBC or one of the channels nobody watches. I don't know.
It's Law and Order, isn't it?
He's on one of those types of shows. He's on like CSI Law and Order.
Is he on like Rape Victims Unit or?
CSI, Rape Spectacular, New York, LA, Chicago. Okay. Sandusky, Ohio.
Central Time.
Yeah, Central Time. CSI Central Time. Central Mountain Standard.
Right.
Pacific. Hawaii. Do they still do Hawaii 5-0? Is that still a show?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a Subway commercial now.
Is that not like one of the top rated shows on?
I couldn't tell you, man.
Stupid.
I could not tell you. Is Jin from Lost still on that? I remember that was a thing they talked about for a while.
Do you think I've ever actually watched an episode?
He was Don Ho.
Hawaii 5-0.
He was like not Don Ho.
That is racist.
That's racist.
Very racist. He was a Japanese Zero.
Dano. He was Dano. He was Bookum Dano. Bookum Don Ho.
Right. His name was Mitsubishi.
Bookum Don Ho.
Hyundai Mitsubishi.
Hey. Speaking of racism, I have a strong recommendation. I want you to hear me out here.
All right.
I heard enough people say this was actually funny that it seemed dumb. They're like, don't look, the trailers made it look dumb. The premise makes it seem dumb. It's actually funny. Give it a chance. They were right. MacGruber. MacGruber
really?
Is a good hour and 20 minutes of fun.
Really?
It's pretty fucking hilarious. It's a hard R.
Okay, so that was the problem then. They couldn't actually show any of the good
None
bits
of the funniest stuff is in the trailer
so
at
like
20, all.
I
like,
never would have guessed.
It was like
actually.
21 Jump Street.
21, that was also really good.
Did you watch
are you
that?
Serious?
It was actually really good.
With Jonah Hill and that
yes.
model?
Tatum.
Did you watch it?
Yeah.
No.
Okay,
it's actually
no.
funny.
Like MacGruber's? Apparently MacGruber's.
Except that Will Forte's funny.
Yeah.
No, but
Channing Tatum
21 Jump
and
Street?
Jonah Hill work really fucking
right.
well together.
Are you serious?
Again,
was it skinny Jonah Hill?
Yeah.
He was mid-ground.
No. It's
he's from Midgard?
Where he's not fat is he skinny. It's skinny Jonah Hill.
It's good.
Now, here's the thing. I also believe
it's
that skinny Jonah
thing.
Hill could not be funny. Wrong.
But it's because it was a rated
well,
R.
Well, you're
was
in
rated
luck.
R.
He's fat again.
So. It was rated R, and they could not show any of the good stuff in the trailer.
Yeah.
All the entire trailer is them doing drugs and then pretending to be high.
I saw it twice. I saw it once.
That's shocking.
I saw it once with him.
It's shocking.
Yeah.
I saw it once with Josh because
it was
actually
really funny.
I was like, I'm willing to waste an hour and a half. I don't really care what we go to watch. And then I watched it and was like, I've got to take Denise to watch this. And it's fucking awesome.
That's crazy.
And I'm going to buy the DVD because I want to see whatever outtakes they had. Because Ice-T, or is Ice-T Ice Cube?
It's one of the
whatever.
Ices.
That is racist.
It's ice.
It's one of those, it's one of the cold boys.
So right.
It's vanilla ice.
Right. One of the.
Word to your moms, Channing Tatum.
Right. One of the ice cold guys.
I'm going to flip
it.
This house, yo.
He is awesome in that. Which, by the way, apparently they're making Yet Another Friday.
It's called Yet Another Friday.
No, I think it's called Last Friday. That's what it's called.
Oh, Jesus.
Because they were talking to the dad.
Every time I'm in the kitchen,
you in the kitchen,
yeah. Eating all the goddamn food.
I like that guy, but only for that one.
All the chitlins, all them pig's feet,
hog maws.
Maybe yeah. I want some of them chitlins.
That's a good.
So
but yeah, it's gonna be called Last Friday
because it happens on December 20th, 2012. And then the 21st is a Saturday.
Wow, that's a really dark ending.
Yeah, it is.
It just,
actually,
it's the
actually at the
that.
End at the end of last Friday, it just says now watch 2012.
Well, no, it has to end with a Nick Cage numbers movie where the sun explodes and fire.
Jesus Christ!
Hey, did you know that I was in
did
Ghost Rider?
Oh yes,
I was
why?
In. I was in Ghost Rider.
Shut up. Dude. Was that knowing?
Knowing, yeah, that's it.
Holy,
I thought it was numbers.
Fuck.
It was in something. It was an N word. I don't know.
It was the N word of movies.
Whoa! Wait. Is that insinuating that that means it's a bad movie?
Or, I don't know what I'm saying right now.
Or really good at basketball?
I've had two Mike's Hard Lemonades. I don't know what I'm talking about anymore.
Wow, really?
Seriously? Shut up. I need to cover. That movie is so bad. Hey, look at this block of numbers. My kid sees the future in him. Oh, 23. And then he looks on the internet. He Googles 23, and it's like 23 people died. Holy shit. And he's like 56. Dude. 56 people died in a plane crash. Oh, we're all going to die. And like that is – those are the correlations. It is literally the number
and
of people that died.
The sun explodes and our planet burns to death.
And aliens take children to the Elysian fields to frolic.
It was pretty sweet. Those kids are going to be fucking in about 4 seconds after the credits roll.
They're going to force them to. Hence humans, mate.
What? We want to play with flat.
Mate, humans. Reciprocate DNA. Put your bodies in the same place. Move them until DNA exchange occurs. And then they like try and rock them. They're like, make it go. Do human mating go.
You're a terrible alien.
You explode DNA on her face. Do whatever humans do. We have a compartment. It's very clean. It's simple. I don't understand. Humans. I have a cloaca.
Are you going to watch George Washington Baseball Hunter?
Touch wieners. They accidentally got two boys. They're like, touch wieners until DNA exchange occurs. Okay, but I mean, I guess.
I don't know why we're
I don't think
this.
We're going to get, hey, this is not so bad. I don't think we're going to get pregnant. I'm not sure.
Can you get pregnant there?
I don't have any protection, so.
So.
Vomit genetic material in her cloaca.
What?
What now?
Like, actually,
you want to
like,
know about
throw up in her pussy? Is that
John Adams? John Mummy Adams Strangler.
Mummy, John Mummy Quincy. Hunter. It's John Quincy Adams.
John right. Quincy Adams. Mummy Strangler.
Right.
Mummy Strangler.
Write that down.
That's so stupid.
Shut your fucking face.
It's a mummy. Why would it care? It's already dead.
Shut up.
Oh, man. I hope they make that in 3D.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
John Quincy.
So when I was at Texas Primary Weekend, I watched Abraham Lincoln's Zombie Hunter.
Oh, the knockoff that came out before the movie?
Yeah, nice. Much like...
Asylum, yeah.
Much like American Battleship.
Yeah, which they had to change the name to like American Warship, I think. Yeah,
I can't wait to watch that.
That's going
to
be pretty solid. I hope they like...
Did either of you see Battleship?
No.
Oh,
man.
I have the game.
Pride.
So...
Like from
I'd already read it.
You already knew how.
I knew how it ended. Yeah, they sunk my battleship. Right. It turns out, spoilers.
This red peg kind of came down, and
which are in the movie.
They're not red in the movie.
They're yellow, but they're in the movie. Oh, you saw it?
Oh fuck yeah!
I'm sorry.
It was fucking retarded.
Okay, just
it was great.
Let me know exactly what they finish it with. What happens?
Well, okay.
First of all, does anyone say the line?
They say something close to the line, but they do not say the line.
God,
it's a huge missed opportunity.
Yeah, it really
the
is.
Best part, the most outlandish thing in the entire movie is they're out at sea and there's an attack going on. They're going to get shot, but they're cruising the battleship at like Mach 8 or however the fuck fast it can go. But they need to evade some incoming fire and they can't slow down in time. So they drop anchor and they power slide the battleship.
Wait, what?
I want you to think about
like
that.
No,
Tokyo,
I can't.
Like Tokyo Drift?
Yes, they Tokyo Drift a battleship.
I can't
in
wait.
The
no,
ocean.
I can't think. First of all, you said Mach 8. Did you mean some sort of knots, like some sort of nautical
some
speed?
Sort of, I don't know the nautical terms.
I don't think we have planes that can go Mach 8.
Shut the fuck up.
Okay. I think the space shuttle goes like Mach 8 in space.
Right. So the battleship is going Mach 8 through
so it's
the
like,
ocean. Yeah, but...
And then they just
but the aliens
toss
know how to
anchor.
Lead. The aliens have figured out how to lead the target, and they know they're going to get hit, so they drop the anchor.
Because they're following a grid, they're going straight in the grid, and they're like
actually,
the alien. Yes. The aliens are like, wait, if they're in B4, that means they're probably also in C4.
Right.
Shoot C4, and if
glass.
That's a hit, go forwards or backwards one.
Right.
We got this.
Yeah. So
now exchange DNA.
Yeah, so that movie, it was one of the big finale moves.
They toss an anchor into the air.
Into the ocean.
Into the ocean.
They drop anchor at 8.
I want them to toss it, and then it hits the ocean.
They power slide a battleship. Are you listening to the words coming out of my mouth?
And then it skips.
Yes! It's so awesome.
And then it keeps going the right direction.
Wait,
right.
Is that a turn?
No, because then they cut anchor, and then the chain goes flying off, and then they cruise in a totally different direction.
Momentum on water doesn't work like that.
Shut up.
There's no friction there.
Momentum in CG works however the fuck you want it to. Shit was awesome.
Is that a term, dropping the anchor? Is it like taking a dump?
Yeah.
So they do that.
Yeah.
And then
that was the big evasive maneuver.
And then Vin Diesel shows up,
and
then says,
they win, and the aliens go home.
They go to Tokyo, and then they fire back. And I don't. It's all a blur. It was a big dumb fucking movie.
Hey,
but
here's a question.
It was better than Transformers.
Who wins?
We do.
Oh, that's good.
Spoilers.
Hey,
you remember when you played Battleship as a kid, and there weren't aliens in it?
I believe there are.
Not in my version.
There are now.
I think they actually made a game where like one side is battleships and the other side is spaceships. I'm pretty sure you can buy that now.
It doesn't matter because the spaceships land in the water and then they have to stay on the water.
They're boats. Yeah. They're space boats.
They're space boats.
That's great.
They can hop. The great they can't really fly.
The great space boat. Is there
Does anybody punch anybody and say welcome to Earth?
No.
Motherfucker. Mm-hmm. Is there a reason given that like all ships must stay stationary and then we must fire volleys back and forth until
It's not about that. The aliens take out a whole bunch of satellite shit, and so they have to find a new way of tracking where people are, and they have a whole bunch of buoys that are on the ocean that they can get real maritime wave data or some bullshit off of, and the buoys are in a grid formation, so they're able to tell where everyone is.
So they're using
by their buoy grid coordinates.
They're using our Wi-Fi.
Aren't doing that. We're doing that.
Oh, is
we're
this that movie where the Wi-Fi kills you? Like there's ghosts in the Wi-Fi? Right.
No, that was Schindler's List.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I saw that one.
Yeah, that was Hitler's nickname, right? The Wi-Fi.
Right.
Hitler's List.
Right.
Hitler's List had one thing on it. The Jews. All Jews.
It's
list finished.
It's too soon.
Okay. What? I'm sorry you did that. I'm glad you did that so that I don't have to.
Right.
But I feel bad for you
as
a person.
So you have Piranha D double
three
D.
Triple D double deuce.
Right.
Right.
The
I have it too now, apparently.
Did I give that to you?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Because here's what I heard.
Not
from
legally.
On
Shut up.
No, it was released digital on demand day and date of the theater.
Oh, it was actually released before the theater.
Oh, like a day or two before. Oh, and then the theater, it's made like $75,000 in the theater.
I want to see it.
I would be shocked if it made less streaming or on demand than it made in the theater. That would seem impossible. Well, I mean, it's basically should be straight to home
from
video.
From what I hear, it's should completely be. Terrible.
It's not fun to watch like the first one.
Did you see Piranha 3D?
I saw the first one.
Yeah.
It was fun to watch.
It was magical.
I didn't see it in 3D.
Yeah, the 3D was also magical.
Yeah, it was. It really was.
Yeah, when that chick got her face ripped off.
It was
in
better
3D.
Than Avatar.
The tits getting bit off was a bit much.
Yeah,
tits
but dude, when that cock floated past the screen in 3D.
And then got ate
when
twice.
When she got Indian sculpted, like, by the boat.
Like,
oh,
back
the girl.
To front.
Yeah. No, the girl that is parasailing dips her legs in the water and then they just pull out a torso. That was a magical
such
moment.
Such a classic move.
That's amazing. That is like. You know,
to be fair, that was like stolen from the intro of Jurassic Park 3.
When you talk about movie moments, you're talking about like On the Runway, Casablanca, right?
Oh, okay.
Here's looking at you, kid.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Then maybe
you can't handle the truth.
Yes,
that's a good one.
Yeah,
too old for this shit. That's good.
Okay, and then pulling the torso out of the parasailing.
Yeah,
that's top five. Top five all day every day.
You only listed four.
There's a scene in Chipwrecked.
Oh God,
it was really good.
Please tell me you're kidding.
Really, really.
Did
good.
You actually see
no,
Chipwrecked?
No, I wouldn't let my kids see that.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Are you kidding?
Wait, with Whoopi Goldberg?
Wookie Goldberg.
Yeah.
Did you ever hear about David Cross being in the third one?
Yes.
Did you hear about that?
It wasn't he like in a fucking suit the whole time?
He was in a suit. He begged them. To let him out of his contract, to let him do voiceover, like put someone else in the fucking suit. and I will record here. You're ruining my show, because he was making Todd Margaret in London at the time. You're going to cancel production of my show for months if I go do this. They were like, fuck you, get here. According to him, and he's a bit of a curmudgeonly fuck, so
right.
It might have been very cordial.
It's probably true, though.
Probably.
Yeah. I want you to look at the heart and soul of that movie and tell me.
And he said that his face does not appear on the screen at all. And that he's positive the entire thing was a fuck you to him for being so verbal about hating working with them for the first two, which is nice. He said it also bought him a very nice house, and he's dating Amber Tamblyn, child star Amber Tamblyn, who was on House recently. She's 23 and he's like 45.
Tiffany Amber Tamblyn.
Tamblyn. Right. .com. Yeah, absolutely.
Those guys are going to be in my movie, too.
David Cross and Tiffany Amber Tamblyn?
No, just Screech.
Amber Tamblyn. That's Amber. A great hyphenated.
Tamblyn Amblyn? Amber.
Tamblyn? Tubin?
Amber Tamblyn, man.
Troblin?
Play a song for me.
Tubin? Is that a thing?
Okay, so Dustin Diamond would be in your movie if he's not dead. I'm fairly sure he is.
I thought he was just an asshole.
He's a fucking asshole. Yeah, right. Yeah. That seems to be the thing. How are you enjoying that rifled beer bottle there? Is it shooting you in the face with flavor?
Yeah, it is. I love rifles.
Rifles. What was the thing from Always Sunny, the gunshot?
Or the shotgun.
Or the shotgun. Both. That's the dumbest idea I've ever heard, Frank. Fine, God.
Wait.
We've totally got to steal that idea from the shotgun. Oh, definitely, bro.
Wait, what was that? Where they shotgun the makeup on your face? What was that?
What?
I remember that from something,
yeah,
but this no is not idea. What we're talking about.
No, I'm trying to remember what
you what put makeup it? In a gun and shoot it on somebody's
yeah,
face.
Yeah, you shotgun that. Somebody in the face.
I have a video of a guy shooting paint on a canvas from his asshole.
We don't get that part of the internet. Yeah, you have to.
It's actually on YouTube.
You have to show your card.
And I'm totally serious.
I think you have to put in your code word before you can see that.
I'm probably going to guess not. You just got to turn off filter
it's
for
on YouTube.
For internet.
Did I tell you the thing?
It's actually, the best part, it's a mock Zune commercial.
Oh, Jesus.
Just to make the whole thing even stranger.
Wait a minute. I know what you're talking about.
I
think
I may have shown that to you.
That's a Dell. That's a Dell commercial.
No, it's not Dell.
Or something. It was a
Zune.
Mock. Was it Zune?
Zune.
Where they talk about the guy and he's like, this is art. And he's like an overweight, like. Whatever.
Oh, no, that was a mock Dell commercial.
The mock this is totally, where he's taking the photographs.
Totally separate. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
That guy blows smoke up his ass and then
and then paint out his ass.
No, he photographs.
Yeah.
The particles in the air.
Yeah. It's like
in a very artistic
baby powder
way.
Shooting out of his ass in slow motion.
And then it's photographed.
It's art.
They show the photos first and you're like, "Wow, that's actually really cool." And then they show what it is.
Yeah.
He should have shot it onto a baby's ass.
No, you go to jail for that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they just
bad parenting.
They just sent that one guy to
jail forever.
Like that guy goes to a special place in hell.
They're actually working on life extending techniques so he can be in jail longer. They're going to keep him alive.
Right.
Did you hear the statement from Sandusky's lawyer about how
he
said another Sandusky name? So I'm assuming his son.
Oh,
was
yeah.
going to come forward and say, you know what, guys? He kind of molested me, too.
Yeah, that was one of his adopted sons. He had 6 adopted sons.
I'm sure he was trying to get more.
That's fucked up.
That is working his way to a baker's dozen is what he was doing.
Secrets.
That was almost one for every day of the week. The lawyer was on MSNBC. I had turned it on to watch Locked Up. Because I love that show. I love seeing that I'm not in prison and these people are, and their lives are terrible. So, you know what? I just realized that is that's the final evolution of reality television, where you watch terrible people be terrible. It's just watching people on death row and going, yeah, I'm better than this. My life has worked out way better than this guy.
We should call NBC right now. Stop the show.
I turn on to see Locked Up, and it's this Sandusky lawyer guy, and he says, and then we received a statement from so-and-so Sandusky saying that he was going to testify, saying he had been molested. I was not in favor of this, so I asked that this be dismissed, and they did not. Like, the lawyer was saying, like, reading a statement of, like, he might as well have just said, this would have totally fucked our case, much like he fucked all those boys.
Oh wait, God! Did I just say that out loud?
Oh shit! That's
allegedly.
That's my post-it.
Have allegedly fucked our
my
case.
Post-it. Yeah, yeah.
Like
ah,
he fucked those boys.
Like he did fuck those boys. Hang on, back it up. Do over. Ah shit.
We the people in of order, the United States,
in order to form a more perfect union
with boys,
we're touching boys' asses. Oh no!
Why do I say
God, this? It's very NAMBLA.
I haven't slept in a long time. NAFTA.
NAFTA.
I haven't slept in a long time, and I have this child rapist for a client, and oh, it's been a hard month. Anyway, you guys, what was I saying? What page was I on?
Marty, it's your grandpa.
Here, let me see here. It's rape. That's all rape. Don't say
God
rape.
God damn, I swear this.
Oh, it's on the last page. It says, don't say he raped those boys.
I thought it said grape.
Okay.
This whole time.
First of all, I only took this case because I thought I was defending Grape Ape, and I love that show.
I love Grape Ape. I love wine. I love...
I love Franzia.
I love wine and cheese, and damn it.
I like all of the Hanna-Barbera cartoons. I like when they would get together and race for some reason. I liked Muttley. I liked all those guys. Grape Ape was great. This guy, not so great.
Space race. I didn't realize he was saying space rape.
Yes.
The whole time.
The great space race. No, he was saying, I raped all those boys. I said, Grape Ape? And he goes, rape. Grape Ape. Rape. You can't be saying what I think you're saying, so we're going to start over. There's no way you're saying
child abuse.
You raped all those boys. You must be talking about something different. I'm going to give you another chance to say it. One more chance. I'm on the best phone line in the house. This is the wired line. No chance of static. Okay.
Did you say Utes?
One more time. You raped the Utes?
Utes.
What are the Utes? They are the people he raped. Okay. Case closed. Life in prison. Good job. Good job, everybody.
Topical.
Oh, man. My cousin Vinny was topical. Hey, that guy, you know, because I don't know when this will be released, he could have been murdered in prison by now. Let's hope.
That lighthearted.
Speaking of Locked Up, that is one of the things that I
with
love
Sylvester
watching.
Sylvester Stallone? Locked Up?
You're thinking of Knocked Up.
That with was Sylvester Stallone.
With Fat Jonah Hill?
I don't think you know what I'm saying.
No, it's a different guy. Right?
Oh, that's Catherine Hagel and...
Hagel! Hagel! So, on Locked Up, the one thing they always get back to is it's like, what are you in for?
Well, you know, I walked in to my mother's house and I put a knife in her mouth and then I cut her face off and then I wore it for a few days and then I just made some splatter paints with her insides. And who do you hate the most? Molesters, we kill them. Like, there is a prison code that no matter what fucked up thing you did, molesters are worse. Rapists, there's a rapist and molesters. Like, molesters are worse than rapists.
There are 50 shades of gray.
There are 50 shades of rape in prison.
Right.
And they will, they're like flat out like, I'm already here, so I'll just kill them. Why not? I mean, where am I going to go? Prison?
Derp.
Yeah. And so they actually, this is spoilers, tip for any of you want to be inmates.
Uh-huh.
They put rapists and molesters in the nicest part of the prison, away
Wait,
from everybody.
What show is this?
What? Locked Up. Locked Up on MSNBC.
What?
Is that a channel?
Is that on the web
MSNBC?
MSNBC is a channel.
.com.
Locked Up.
.com.
Is a show. .com is on 30 Rock. With Grizz.
Right.
He was also at Chicago C2E2 Comic-Con. It was very weird to see him there. And, yeah, they keep him in there. They keep him segregated. So there's like 90 million dudes in general population, and there's like 40 rapists and pedophiles keeping to themselves in a special part of the prison. Thank you for showing me Lock Up with Sylvester Stallone.
Right. That's what I was talking about.
What was the movie about prison where Sean Penn makes a bomb out of a boombox?
Lock Up.
Was Sylvester Stallone?
Yes.
That's a good one. I like that one.
He was also in Cobra. In Judge Dredd.
Cobra Commander was in that. Did you see that trailer for Dredd? That looks stupid.
Dredd? Judge Dredd?
For the new Judge Dredd,
did
yeah.
you see the trailer for
Wait,
Judge
what?
Dredd that is just a remake of The Raid?
That's what I hear. Yeah, that's
like,
what I hear.
The trailer just looks like it's the American remake.
Yeah, they just go into a block housing.
Have you seen
housing.
The Raid yet?
No.
Holy shit. See, we should have watched that at your birthday party.
Yeah, but we were having too much fun.
Instead, we still sang a bunch of gay songs for like
amazing.
8 hours.
Wait, you're amazing. Gay. He sang the gayest of all songs. Like, he found the gay, like, literally songs about being gay and performed magnificently. Yeah.
Wait, like Barracuda?
What was the one about my Canadian girlfriend? Is that from Avenue Q?
It's from Avenue Q.
Oh, that was good.
Oh,
my girlfriend who lives in Canada.
I can't wait to eat her pussy. Like, that was really funny. I'd never heard that before.
It's a really good show. And I knew that song by heart.
I'm sure you did. What was the one that I had to find the right pitch for you? That was from Wicked.
Yeah, because I can sing it in the real pitch. And then that started, and I'm like, what is this? This is wrong.
But I was on top of it. We had a karaoke party. And Josh is like, popular. This is the wrong pitch. This key is awful. Fix it. God, and he was literally like diva-ing me while singing a Idina Menzel Christian
show
Christian Chenoweth song.
Was he doing the one ear kind of thing?
I'm here. You need to be here. You're here. I'm here. You're down here.
That is what makes Step,
I'm up here.
That is what makes Step Brothers awesome when they're singing "Sweet Child of Mine" in the car.
Yes. Oh my god, that's so funny. Yeah, Adam Scott, who had his wiener bitten off, I believe, or no, that was Jerry O'Connell. Adam Scott had his head bitten off, I think, right in Piranha.
He gets eaten at the end.
He gets eaten right at the end. Yeah, yeah, just chomps him at the end.
Spoilers.
He's the complete asshole, fuckface, rich brother in Step Brothers, and he's got his whole family doing four part vocal harmony, a cappella to "Sweet Child of Mine."
And I can sing high.
Yeah, and he sings this kid tries to do the solo, and he can't do it. And he's like, what are you doing? What are you? God, never mind. I'll take it from here. My name is Derek, and I can sing high. Like, he like sings the solo like that. God damn, that's a good movie. It's really funny.
It really is. It's kind of sad how, like that one scene. There's many things where he's like,
look,
I'll eat your dick like Kobayashi, like, arr, arr, and you're like, what the fuck?
I think one of my favorite parts in that whole movie is they go in for they get kicked out of their cushy lives. They're both 40. Their parents get married, and they both are these man children who have never left home, and so they both get kicked out on their asses, and the dad sets up job interviews for them. And they show up to one of the job interviews, and you see not Will Ferrell, but the other guy, John C. Reilly, is in a tux. And the lady goes, and you are in a tux because – and then Will Ferrell peeks his head out behind him, and they're together. And he's like, and you guys are doing this like a group interview? And they just start going, shut your mouth. I'm sorry. Shut your mouth. Nope. Shut it. No, but I'm sorry. This is my place. There you go again. Shut your mouth. Just shut your stupid mouth. You sound stupid. Shut your mouth. You're making a fool of yourself. Shut your mouth. It's really good though. I like it.
Actually, I like the whole, well, you got the job.
They get a job and then John C. Reilly just smiles and rips like a 3 minute fart.
And he's like, did you just fart?
What'd you have? Hot dogs?
And he's like, no. He's
is that that's ketchup?
Onions? Ketchup? Because I can taste that.
I can taste it right now. All right.
He's like, I can actually like physically taste that.
I thought the tuxes were kind of funny, but you guys obviously are not okay, so we have to go. Yeah, it's good. That's where Boats and Hoes came from. Boats and Hoes.
Boats and Hoes.
It's really good. Nina, the Pinta, the Santa Maria. Boats and Hoes. Anyway, everyone go see that. Also see MacGruber because it was quite funny. There's some male model kid in that too. Some sort of Channing Tatum or something. One of Josh Hartnett, I believe. I think Josh Hartnett's in that.
Well, it was awesome in Pearl Harbor.
Yeah. Everything was awesome in Pearl Harbor.
God damn it.
The harbor was awesome in Pearl Harbor. But yeah.
Alec Baldwin those were both awesome good. In Pearl Harbor.
I never actually saw that.
Oh, God. Alec
on purpose.
Baldwin is awful in Pearl Harbor.
He
terrible.
Yesterday on VH1 Classic, the best of Alec Baldwin SNL came on, and the first episode was from like 91 or 2. Mm. That man was shockingly beautiful in the 90s.
Oh, yeah.
He was fucking James Bond. He was amazing.
Well, he was going to be the next Harrison Ford.
Yeah, I know. They fucked him out of that. Have you ever read his story about that? I think it was in Rolling Stone or something.
No.
how he just got completely fucked out of being not I wanted to say Jack Bauer, Jack Ryan.
Oh,
because he was supposed to take over the whole Patriot Games franchise.
Yeah,
and which somehow that worked into him being in Hunt for Red October. I can't remember. It was all tied in together somehow. Like, anyway, yeah, he was
in Hunt for Red October.
I know, and that had something to do with him taking over for Harrison Ford. But yeah, he got fucked, and it was this article that he did about how all of the success he has in TV means nothing to him because he's not a movie star anymore. And once you're a TV star, you can never be a movie star ever again. And he resents it like forever. He hates TV. He hates comedy. And I'm like, you're so good at comedy. Like,
I don't care what he thinks.
I think that makes him a genius because he's tortured because he is one of the funniest fucking people on television.
He was the fucking voice in the Royal Tenenbaums. He is the guy who narrates the whole Royal Tenenbaums.
I mean, he's hilarious. He's
perfect for everything.
No, and maybe that's why
I tried to get him at my wedding. He wouldn't show up.
Maybe that's why he's kind of a cocksucker. He keeps getting in trouble for like beating the shit out of photographers and stuff. Like last week, he punched a paparazzo in the face, which you should be allowed to do.
Paparazzo,
it's a me, paparazzo. You really should be able to do that though. And but he's prone to outbursts, you know. And then the whole like playing words with friends on the plane thing. Yeah. He seems like an intense guy, but he is funny as shit.
I'm okay with that.
No one has ever been funnier. He is the funniest SNL cast member, period. And
he's been on more times than some actual cast members.
He's been on time more times than all of the black cast members combined.
What was that guy's
name? No. I'm saying recent.
Tim Meadows.
Have you noticed
the show for like
over the last decade they hire a black guy, never let him on the show, and then fire him the year later?
I don't know. The guy they got right now is awesome.
Jay Farrow.
The guy who does all the voices?
Yeah, right. When's the last time he did one? He didn't do any for the last half of the season.
I don't know.
I don't even know if he's still on it. But here's the problem with him. He does a dead-on Obama, and they still let Fred Armisen, a Latino-German guy, do Obama.
That's inherently funnier. That's the problem.
Yeah. No, it's a terrible
Having
impression.
A white man do
Maybe.
A terrible impression of Obama is funnier.
Maybe, but when you've got a dead-on Obama impressionist in the cast and you don't use him, I mean, I'm probably sure that's one of the reasons he got hired.
Probably.
It's amazing, and no one's ever going
to
hear it unless they go on YouTube.
I'm going to agree
with Josh on that.
I don't think it's funny. I don't like his impression. I think Fred Armisen's a really funny guy, and some of his characters are amazing, and, you know, Portlandia is funny, and his Obama's just bad. It's just not a good impression.
But you're drinking Mark's Hard Lemonade, so...
I'm drinking a Mark's Hard Lemonade, so my opinion's invalid?
Right.
Okay. Whatever you say, man.
He's what?
But, yeah, I don't know. It's just not... it doesn't do it for me, and it bothers me. They've always been... That is the chief impression of the whole show. That's like the linchpin. You've got fucking... both Clintons were fantastic. Will Ferrell... See, and here's the thing with
Who did Clinton...
Both
Daryl Hannah
right,
and Daryl Hammond in dual roles,
right?
And then Phil Hartman.
Oh, that's right.
And Phil Hartman was fucking phenomenal.
Oh, you should
at
pour
it.
Out the rest of that Mike's Hard
into my throat. And Phil Hartman's Reagan was good. But then
his
Sinatra amazing. Was just Frank Sinatra.
Right.
I mean, period. I loved when they had...
Actually, Bush's... impersonation of Bush by...
Will Ferrell. Yeah. See, that was one where he was not doing an impression. He was doing a character.
Right.
And that was funny in its own way. I don't think that's what Fred Armisen's doing.
You're drinking that lemonade.
And then all of the Republican candidates, they just got white guys. Just whatever white guy was the right shape and size. They didn't really do an impression this time around. But
it's because they don't have a sense of humor. The Republicans.
Well, and SNL half the time, so yeah. More than half the time.
Still like to get tickets, though. So
they
I don't speak for Joel.
Whatever. But who else? We don't have any other presidents, do we? Oh, and then Dana Carvey's Bush Sr. was a wild caricature, but still funny.
I forgot all about Dana Carvey entirely.
Yeah. As a person, as a human being.
Wow. That guy kind of vanished.
His Paul McCartney was hilarious. Do you remember when they did?
That at all?
Do you remember when they did? When Phil Hartman was Sinatra, and Sting was Billy Idol. It was so great.
Yeah, I do remember.
I can't understand a goddamn word you're saying. It's all pops and clicks over here.
God, he would be a genius right now if he was still alive.
Mm.
I will pour out the rest of this.
Into your pants.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. They, yeah. It's for our homie. Yeah, his wife murdered him.
Yep.
That's weird.
I still remember hearing that on the radio.
Too bad.
The news radio? Zing! Blah, the end.
The Human Torch.
The Human Torch was denied a bank loan. The Human Torch was denied a bank loan. La, 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 la.